Hey guys.
Hey everyone.
Hey, welcome to your In All podcast where we talk about all things in
and all things out.
Thanks for joining us today, guys.
I'm your host, Jericho.
And I'm the other one, Tommy.
You're someone. Give yourself more
I'm
credit.
Someone.
Yeah, you're someone.
And we're some too. So we're going to talk about happy weight and whose fault in it. And obviously you guys know what happy weight is, right?
Yes. So for those who don't know what happy weight is the excessive amount of weight you gain once you enter a relationship. Everyone knows that the happier you are in a relationship, the more weight you gain.
Someone has an opinion on this.
Yeah. Excessive. My weight gain is excessive. That's what I would call it.
All right, cool. So how would you say that? Like, you know, last episode we talked about, you know, trials and tribulations in your 20s.
Yes.
Would you say that this
is one of them?
Yeah.
I think when you... The reason why I think it relates to, like, the trials and tribulations of your 20s is because you go through this, like, phases in your 20s, and we talked about it in our last episode, and part of those phases is dealing with stress, and sometimes that stress comes with stress eating, having different schedules, or trying to, like, go through these new processes, especially if you're going through jobs and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, and your schedule...
That's sad weight.
That's a sad stress weight. Yeah. So that's the reason why this... like weight gain, weight loss, whose fault is it topic is so relevant to a lot of us is because I know a lot of my friends currently are either gaining weight because their new job has just too many snacks, or they're losing a lot of weight because they have a lot of like knock shifts and they don't have time to really eat or like sustain a normal like schedule.
Yeah. So a lot of reasons to it, but today's focus, we're going to be trying to talk about happy weight, and so that's going to be very relationship focused, and obviously there are two peas in a pod when it comes to relationships, so we're also going to talk about just our individual lifestyles and opinions on food and things like that.
But you know what, I realized you can have happy weight while you're single, because you just be living your
that's
life.
True. One summer I was so happy. I gained 30 pounds in one summer, and a lot of thanks was to Krispy Kreme and my roommate Mikey.
Yeah, so you can be getting happy weight even out of a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes you're so happy in a relationship, it doubles and triples that happiness.
Yes, exactly.
So I think to really identify happy weight in a relationship, it's important to just see how that weight and how that history of weight and health applies from when we're single, you know, like when we are just ourselves and, you know, how we are grown up, how our family was. So for you, how would you say was your kind of weight history and metabolism growing up?
Okay, see, this is... I don't want to get too deep so quick in the, like, podcast. But, like, I feel like my weight history... I used to think I was so fat.
Yeah.
I used to think I was big. I used to think, like, I was, like, the chubbiest kid. Like,
were you?
No, I was pretty average. Like, looking at back, like, at old pictures and, like, where I was on a scale. Like, I wasn't that... chunky.
Not
like
that chunky, just
no
chunky.
I wasn't even chunky at all. I would actually would like to say that I was pretty average, like in the middle. Like maybe my eating habits are bad, so my body fat was like unhealthy, but I wasn't like obese, or I wasn't like...
it's like the baby weight.
Yeah
like you're just round in places, but not like huge.
Yes,
not overly.
Yeah,
you know.
But the reason why I'm saying that I don't want to get too serious is because I feel like this is what had to do with my body dysmorphia, and like I didn't go through the extent of being, like, you know, going through anorexia or bulimia, because I was able to kind of, like... they talked about it a lot in school. I think that's during that year, I think in the early 2000s, it was really big in my sister's high school. So I learned about those issues long before. But I think what I didn't know is, even though I didn't partake in those, like, coping mechanisms, because that's what happens when people, like, have really bad body dysmorphia, I still had... large insecurities about my weight, even though I wasn't at all.
So you're saying that those things were kind of pressed on you from like family and stuff like
family
that.
Family and friend, like friend families and whatever, like they used to call it. My nickname back then was Fat Boy.
Ugh.
But that Fat Boy was originated from the fact that I was chunky as a baby, but they continue to call me that.
Yeah.
And so I just always assumed that I was on the heavier side.
Would you say, were you a little like more chunky than like your cousins or siblings and stuff like that?
No, even then, like, my sisters and I were naturally on, not the heavier side, but we were naturally on the thickum side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're nice and
squishy, soft, yeah,
we're
pokeable.
Soft, we're pokeable, we're huggable. But I wouldn't say that, like, me and my sisters had unhealthy weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, can you tell, just real quick, can you tell that the push-up story?
What push-up story?
You had a push-up story about, like, I forgot if it was a cousin or an uncle or something. They would say, like, if you wanted something or something, you had
oh
to do...
Oh, my God. Okay, that pisses me off. Bring me back to that time. So, basically, my brother-in-law, right? My brother-in-law and my sister were dating when they were, like, in their early teens. And by that time, I was, like, only was 20 years old when they met. So, my brother-in-law has been in the family for a while, since they were dating so young. I think when they were like 17, 18, I was old enough to like start hanging out with them, and my sister would take me from school. And as a chunky little baby, I guess, or a fat boy, I would love soda. And we'll talk about this later, how much I love soda.
Yeah.
But
he does.
I would go over to their house and it'd be hot. And I'd be like, oh, do you have like any soda that I can have? And he's like, there's water. And I'm like, well, I don't want water. Like, I'll drink water, but like, I would love a soda. And they'd actually make me do like 20 push-ups in order to get soda, which like low-key I can get why they did it,
because they're trying to equate like exercising for what you want. Like, yeah,
but at the same time, the way they went about it was very humiliating.
It made it feel like it was a bad thing, like you're being punished.
Yeah. And I hated it, because it was like, first of all, it was my brother-in-law doing it, so it's like, who the hell are you? You're not my real like family member. If my family would give me soda on my own, like, why all of a sudden you're the one to parent me?
Yeah.
Like, I don't appreciate that.
Which I think is really weird, because, like you said, I think the lesson ingrained was to be meant well, but that's why it's like, when you're teaching weight and exercise and body image to children when they're young, it's so important to do it the right way.
Exactly.
Because you do it the wrong way,
you can do it the wrong way.
Right, and then you cause more body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Anyways, I love that you're sharing that, because I think for us, we're going to get to share, like, both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
Because for me growing up, I was definitely, like, stick skinny all the time. Like, I'm going to sound stupid, but just, like, I could eat whatever I want. I, like, stick skinny, metabolism crazy, would never gain a percent of fat.
Except for that one summer where you gained over.
That was as an adult, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, growing up, like, this, we're talking about younger childhood, yeah. Like, completely stick skinny, ate whatever I want, and I, like, have childhood pictures with my friends who weren't exactly that, and they were definitely more on the obese larger side. Like, I was the one skinny friend with two fat best friends.
Yeah,
we have pictures. It's so funny. Andy and Virgil, like, they were,
name drop them.
I'm going to name drop them, because it's adorable and we all love it, but they were
on the thicker side,
like, big. Like, I have a big head naturally, right? But then their like fat obese head made it seem like all our heads were the same size. Now that they're skinny, I just have a big head.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, if you can imagine, that was the pictures growing up.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's so crazy.
So I know that you used to do track.
Yeah.
Right? Track. So was that your main form of like exercise and fitness?
Or? Well, I did a lot. I would say like definitely growing up. So if we're going a little bit more into like high school, junior high, or just in general, I've always been a very athletic child and teenager, and I love sports. So we'll talk about your opinion on that too, but I love sports. I loved any sports that I could play. Just give me a football, a soccer ball, yes, you know, a volleyball, whatever it is.
We all know I love sports and a good set of balls.
In practice though, running was a main thing. I did cross country. I was cross country captain, ending my senior high school. I did track and field. I did long distance and short distance. I did volleyball, but I did want to play it all. If there were more seasons, because you know how like in one season there's multiple sports, I would love to do them all, but I had to choose. So in high school, that was kind of my thing, but I was always really fit, you know, six pack abs, like really toned, was like the fittest person in the group. That was like my thing. So that was kind of my history and my fitness journey.
I think for me, my fitness journey only started towards the end of my high school.
Yeah.
And like seriously, when college started, I think for me, I was always afraid of the gym because of how like hyper masculine it is. And like,
yeah,
as a person, when I was younger, I was very feminine.
Yeah.
I used to not like those spaces. And I always assumed that exercise was equivalent to like really hard, like hard sports. Cause my sister was this, basketball player. And so her fitness was way intense because she always wanted to keep up and like, you know, agility and all of that. So I always was in fear of exercising because I was like, I don't want to do that shit.
But what about it with sports? Like, were you not coordinated growing up, or like what?
So I've told this story so many times, but like literally when I was younger, I wanted to partake in sports. I really did.
Yeah.
I wanted to do basketball with my sisters because I was like, oh my God, my whole family loves basketball. I want to learn. Leslie, my older sister, is naturally gifted with picking up athletics. I'm not.
Yeah.
And she tried to teach me when she was 12 and I was 6. And she got really impatient. And she would, like, really, like, use negative reinforcement. She would throw the ball at me. And she would call me names. And she'd be like, you're so, like, fucking pathetic. Like, if I can do it, why can't you? And it was very disheartening. And I was very much scarred from ever touching
I see a lot of sports. Negative, like, what's it called? Connotations happening with you growing up. So I'm sure, like, that reinforcement with the fat boy added into that and all of that just made you want to run in the opposite direction.
That's exactly why I stayed in my ass inside and learned how to draw and, like, create. And I think that's why I became more creative. I'm probably the most creative out of all my siblings.
Right.
But because of that, like, I had to really learn fitness and exercise later in life. And, you know, I felt like if I understood that there's other ways to exercise that wasn't so intense, I would have done it way
Well, maybe for before. Good reason. Because, like, I would say that your family, and especially with your sister, right? Your upbringing is very atypical than stereotype. Like, she's the sporty sister, and you're more so, like, the guy that went more creative. We're usually in, like, movies and media.
It's about reverse.
It's the opposite, which is kind of cool because it speaks a lot to who
you end up being. Well, I will say what helped me get started into exercise and, like, fitness was my, I think, junior, senior year. That's when I actually, like, I was fully came out. Everyone knew I was gay. And I still had guy friends who were very supportive of that and didn't care. And they just wanted to go to the gym regardless. And I, honestly, for them, it was their influence who kind of, they're like, okay, so what, you're gay, what, you can't work out? And I was like, well, I just feel like, you know, I feel like stereotypically, I don't belong there as a, like, gay person. Oh my God,
that sounds horrible.
But they were very, like, supportive. And like, dude, we can teach you how to, like, train.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't make such a big deal out of it. And then it was because of that I started going to the gym at the YMCA, and I would go with my best friends, and it was a thing. Like, we would go, like, every other day to the gym and, like, use the pool and everything. And I was like, damn, like, if this is what fitness feels like feeling good, feeling, like, energetic, I was like, fuck yeah. And that's what kind of finally started getting me into fitness, because I didn't have my sister yelling in my ear about what I'm doing right and wrong.
Which is so funny, because we're talking about fitness and, like, how it makes you feel better and stuff like that. In complete contrast, today's topic is happy weight, and we're talking about food.
Food and weight gain,
And I don't know if you guys have heard before, but they say that when it comes to weight loss or keeping weight off or just living a healthy style, they say that exercise is actually very, very important to have both, but it is more so like 20%, but what you put in your body is actually 80% of how you maintain weight and how you lose weight and stuff like that.
A lot in my body.
So we both have history in, like, you know, now working out, now keeping up these good habits and stuff like that. But let's talk about, like, our history when it comes to food.
What doesn't help with food,
huh,
is the fact that I'm Filipinos, and, like, Filipinos love fried shit. We love putting salt and, like,
not just that, sugar, salt, everything. Fat, like,
I'm pretty sure I feel like out of all the Asian ethnicities, I'm pretty sure Filipinos have the worst, like, in terms of fat content.
I feel like it. And, you know, like, it's funny because Filipinos, a lot of them are known to be nurses, but yet they also are notorious for having high cholesterol and just, like, bad heart problems.
Literally my family.
It's so weird.
I think that's the reason why they became there.
I think so, because they're like, we need to take care of our people.
Yeah, that's exactly why. Because I tried Vietnamese food. I tried your parents' food. And you said it's, like, it's a little more healthier. They make healthier versions. But I feel like even then, it's way cleaner than what stereotypical Filipino food
in
looks
general,
like.
In general, Vietnamese food is just really fresh, herb-focused. You know, like, it's very, very clean.
Yeah.
And then that's also a reason why I love Filipino food, because growing up with that, I loved going to my Filipino, like, friends, like, potlucks and stuff like that, and being like, this food is so indulgent. Yeah. It's so sweet. It hits all the flavor spots. Sweet, sour, spicy, like, you know, savory, all of that.
You know, it's weird. I feel like if you look at, like, Chinese, Japanese, like, all the other ethnicities in the Asian spectrum, all their greasy food are street food.
It's street
food. You know what I mean? Everything else is, like, healthy.
So tell me why the Filipinos are bringing it into the house, because they love parties. They love, it's part of the culture.
Yeah, ours is
the street food is in the house.
The street food is in the house. We sell on the street and in the house.
It's so funny.
But yeah, I feel like that's the reason why, like, I mean, I can't necessarily blame Filipino food for weight gain because that's just like, there's, you can obviously control how much you eat, but it does affect your, what you prefer and your preferences.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, once again, it goes back to culture. It's pros and cons. Like, you might have high cholesterol, but Filipinos are notorious for being family-oriented, having great parties, so it comes with the culture.
Yeah.
So just, maybe just not every day. Maybe you can't be having some lumpia every day, things like that. But yeah, like I said, just to reiterate, for myself, growing up, and my mom, for those people who have been to my house or just know my mom, is an amazing cook. She used to have a restaurant in Vietnam and like can cook anything. Some parents specialize, like, oh, they make very good pho aga or they make really good bún bò Huế or whatever.
Yeah.
My mom can make it all. You ask for it, it's going to be on the table in just like an hour or so. Like, amazing. And so I think I was really, I don't want to say spoiled growing up, but I guess so. Like, that I had everything. But it, she can't make, like, anything. But it was a lot of Vietnamese food. So yeah. I think that's for why, for myself, I learned to have a hand in the kitchen is because I wanted to make that, all those things that she couldn't make. And then so that's why I'm also, like, a lover of being in the kitchen and cooking.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's where we both kind of come from when it comes to that. And then so that's kind of what we bring into when it comes to a relationship, like these habits that we have attributed.
They're not the greatest.
To happy weight.
Yes.
So what would you say is, just that's your family, right?
Yeah.
Personally, when we talk to you about your contributions into this relationship, what do you, what are your guilty pleasures? What do you bring to the table that are your contributions to our weight gain?
Oh my God. So like we're talking about like what I... Basically, what he's trying to say, y'all, is how did I influence him in a negative way? So
we all have negative influences, but what are yours specifically?
Okay, well, I feel like since we started dating, like this, I've always been this type of person, but I think since we started dating, you started doing it more.
Yeah.
Late night cravings. I remember when we first started dating, you wouldn't eat past a certain time because it'd just be really bad. But now that we've been together for almost a year, it's like, I'm like, hey, after the bar, can we get, like, a Dirty Dog?
Yeah,
or can we go to, like, Denny's? I remember literally the first month of us dating, maybe even the second month, there's one point in time where we went to the bars every Monday because it's power hour at a certain bar in our, like, area.
Because of that.
Because of that, we would go out and I would get hungry because I have the drenchies. And we would end up at Denny's next to his place and we would literally be there every Monday
for to the like point where the waitress or the hostess ended up remembering our faces
because we went like, every week. God, she was like, last week you guys didn't come, where were you guys? I was like, oh my God.
Like,
and that's when me and Tommy knew we had to stop showing up. We kind of were like,
that's when you know it's bad,
we can't go back because this bitch knows us.
Yeah,
that's really bad.
So once again, when it comes to late night cravings, it comes with a pro. Of course, we're socializing, we're spending time, but then when you're out late, you get hungry late.
Yeah, so that's one.
Yeah.
Convenience food, so fast food. I'm very convincing when it comes to like maybe we should just eat Wendy's or maybe
I think it also speaks about, I want to say like a not okay like a negative trait of yours is sometimes you can be impatient. I think it speaks to that, like, you know, why can't we just, it's just better if we get it now. Hold on, let's make it a positive. You're time efficient.
I guess.
Want to be time efficient with your time, so you're like, why don't we just get that now so we can just do other things with our time.
With that soda, I get that all the time whenever we go out to like fast food because it's a fountain drink.
It's a perfect pairing.
It cuts right through the burgers that
it's funny. So like you said before, you, I don't drink soda. Like, I rarely drink soda. I might drink soda like once a year, maybe a few times a year at most. And when you're with me, then I'm just like, you know, I can admit that a nice soda is a nice pairing to a good greasy burger. Like, sometimes I ice cold Coke is just so refreshing in that a way that nothing else can be. I do would just choose water and just suck it up, and I have water because I know it's healthier.
To offset it, I do try to drink like at least one glass of water before I allow myself to drink soda.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
but so definitely I've had a lot more soda since you've been around. Yeah.
On the opposing end of being time efficient, when I do like to take my time and sit and eat, it's not just a regular dinner, guys. I like to do, like, the all-you-can-eat.
That's another contribution.
Yeah. I think the second month of us dating, we went to, like, Jen. I think, like...
No, it was always something. Whether it was Jen or it was, like, hot pot. It wasn't just regular hot pot where you have your own hot pot or just order the meat. It had to be unlimited hot pot.
Yeah. I have really good places. Y'all hit me up if you want some, like, good all-you-can-eat because I probably have a few, like, bookmarks. But... Fun fact, I don't snack a lot though, but I'll purchase a lot of different snacks.
It's so
So like
weird.
I'll go to the store, I'll grab like three, I think 3 to 4 different like mini snacks, chocolate candies, but I won't eat it all in one sitting.
I think that's really good of you, 'cause in opposition, like, I am that type of person, and if y'all agree with me, DM me, let me know. But I'm that type of person who will sit at the couch and can eat a whole bag of chips by myself. Like, the whole thing in one sitting. It's the worst thing in the world, but I can do it, and I will do it, 'cause I just, like, will keep my hand in there and
Yeah.
just keep grabbing
I
until it's
think it's
gone.
because I like variety, but I don't like having too much. So I think what? I had like I think a bag of like chocolates, like a small bag of chocolates, like M&M's, y'all.
Yeah.
I can make that last for like 2 to 3 days because I'll eat like 3 to 4 M&M's a day.
You guys should see his pantry. It's really weird. There's a lot of bags of, like, he finishes, he takes a little bit of a bag and he crumples it or folds it or, like, clips it, right? There's a bunch of almost full still snacks in his pantry and a lot of them. And then it's like, these things are gonna expire. When are you gonna finish it? You have to finish it.
It's, I don't know, like I just have this weird habit of just wanting a little of it at a time.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's so weird.
I can make things last when I
That's
want
what.
them
That's why
to.
I think I'm a pro when it comes to sustainability and losing food waste. I help him finish these things. I come in and I'm like, let's finish this bag. Let's,
Hey, I can
yeah.
stretch out food, okay? It's just
It's good.
when it's bad, but when it's good, it's even better.
And
Oh.
I'm a bag finisher.
Yes. So what is your contribution then, Tommy, if I have all of these other things?
I would say I'm definitely an equal contributor. Probably my number one thing is I have a mad sweet tooth. And this is actually a learned trait. It's not a natural trait. So growing up, my mom, she would ingrain this thing that after every meal, you have to have something sweet. Whether it was a mint or a piece of fruit. See, these things are generally healthier with my mom,
Yeah.
right? A piece of fruit, just a piece of candy, something. And I think that turned into a piece of fruit, maybe a piece of chocolate, maybe a milkshake, maybe a slice of cake. It turned into this thing because I ingrained, like, it's like lab rat testing.
Yeah.
Like, I finish food and my mouth literally starts to water for something sweet. It's so weird. Like I get anxiety when I'm like walking around. I'm like, oh, I think my breath smells. I need something sweet. Like it's a whole thing to it that,
Yeah.
you have to have something sweet and
Which
your breath has to smell good.
I realize when coming to the whole thing, I only like a little bit of something of sweet. You'll order the sweet thing and I'll take a bite or two and then I'm okay, I'm over it. Like I have what I
Yeah.
had, you can eat the rest of it and you're like, okay, ice cream, yum 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 yum.
So that's probably my number one contribution is like if I have to run to something sweet. Number one, I can have ice cream any time of the day, morning, and night, whether it's cold or hot out. Like, that's my number one vice. I love ice cream. I can always eat ice cream. There's always room for ice cream, any type of ice cream. I'm down. Adding to that, also milkshakes, which is just basically a blended ice
Ice
cream.
cream.
I love milkshakes. I can drink it anytime. Like, ugh. But I think my no. Okay, sorry. I have another vice. It's. I love and have an addiction to limited edition items or seasonal items. So if a bag of Lay's is like new flavor only for the summer, right?
He'll buy it.
And it's like weird. It doesn't matter if I don't like that flavor. Like if it's like dill pickle with like, well, actually I like that, but dill pickle or like something crustacean or like a weird Asian flavor, durian something, like I will get it because I just want to try it. I think it speaks a lot to my curiosity in life.
Yeah.
I just want to try everything. So that no matter what it is, I will buy it.
Yeah.
And then in general, I would say another contribution I have is I love trying new cuisines. Like I want to try everything from around the world, and if I haven't tried a certain dish, I will order it. So, and then so I'm the type of person who whenever I return to a restaurant, I always try something new. I think you're this person. I'm not the type of person where I find something I like and I continue to order it because I don't want to waste my money. I don't care if I waste my money. I'm happy that I tried something new even if I don't like it.
I think, well, the thing with, I think the happy medium between you and I would be that we order something that we know
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
sure like, and then we'll try one thing new.
I love that. Yeah, I
Because
love
in
doing
that
that.
way, it's like at least if we really don't like the other thing, we have the fallback of something that like, okay, we know for sure this is a set thing that we'll like.
Yeah.
We can pick one thing new.
That makes me really happy because I
Yeah.
love, once again, it goes back to like getting to try something new and then being happy with what I have. It's just me being a Libra.
But you know what? You know what the downfall of that is?
What?
If we end up liking that dish too, the next time we go to that place, oh, now we don't know what to get.
We'll both want to get the zit, yeah.
Because we'll be like, damn, there's like five new dishes that we really like. Yeah. Now I can't pick.
But most likely, I'd be the one to get something new. And then...
I'll get the good standard.
Yeah. And then if he really likes it, he'll probably be like, okay, I'm just going to eat this. You can just eat that. Which is funny. Yeah. And then my last one is probably like, even if it's a food I've had, if there's a new restaurant that, you know, is doing really well on Yelp, I'll be like, let's go try it. Even if it's just like burgers or something we've always had, I'll be like, let's try it. So that's how I contribute to us and
this happy weight. A lot of new things you like to try.
I love new things. I love new experiences, which is funny though. But for me, like, I love trying new things. I love eating new things. But it's kind of weird because going back to my healthy habits, I'm actually a really bipolar eater. So when I'm not trying new things, I'm eating really clean, like no salt, no carbs, no sugar, like just protein, vegetables, and like boiled or steamed if I'm just eating by myself. But if I'm cooking for people, then, you know, throw in all the butter, throw in everything. So
yeah,
really weird. So that's what I do for you. And that's how I contribute, not only when we go out, but at home.
Yeah. Y'all need to come over to my house sometime and try Tommy's cooking because... He makes sure that he's catering to the right, you know, demographic, which is me, and I love my shit buttery and, like, sauce.
But when we try to be healthy, I also cook healthy
for us. Yes, we do make good, healthy food.
Yeah, you guys come here, or we'll come to you. We'll do a little dinner. Just provide the alcohol, we'll provide the food.
Oh, yes, please. Speaking of which, I feel like that's something we both...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, we're both really down for, but also it's, like, a negative thing because we both enjoy it. So like I think social drinking,
that's something we both bonded on when we first met.
Yeah,
we'll go into that more in another episode, but
oh yeah, I love social drinking. Another bad habit that we both have is just being super down and open to try new things.
You want
to
try this? Yeah. You want to try that?
There's like no argument. It's more like, hey, this is new.
Okay,
like literally there's no conversation about whether or not I'm like, none of us are specifically picky. I mean, I know that I have, like, there's just certain like food,
right,
or like ingredients,
but it's that very simple,
yeah, that I don't like, but nonetheless I'll more than likely say yes to anything and everything. We like to turn everything into a date night.
Oh well, because I think we're very celebratory people, so it's like you got a job interview, let's celebrate. Your sister is in town, let's celebrate, you know, like, you,
we can literally celebrate. Yeah, celebrate. We can literally celebrate someone else's like birthday and not have them there and still celebrate.
Oh yeah, not just us, we like to celebrate them. And like, oh
yeah,
it's so weird.
I think one time I don't know if we did this, I think it was someone's birthday and we just happened to be out, so we grabbed the drink and I Snapchatted it to the person. It was like a see a chug, send a chug, happy birthday.
Yeah,
I did that for someone, I forgot who it was. Yeah, I think that's like the main like things that come to mind when we talk about like both like traits that we both share. Yeah. That isn't necessarily the greatest. It's good.
Yeah.
But it's also like really like bad when we both like not try to stop each other from like indulging.
So in indulging in a relationship, right? Why do you think it is that, just this is like a general question, right? Why do you think it is that people gain happy weight when, let's say, per se, both of us have such great individual histories with you going to the gym a lot, me working out a lot, running, whatever, blah, blah. Why do you think is people choose to, not choose to gain the weight, but end up gaining the weight because of what they choose, you know?
Okay, well, here's my theory. I feel like, well, eating food's the easiest form of, like, dating and getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. Like, having food and then aimlessly eating it while you're talking and conversing, getting to know each other. Easiest. Right. It's super easy to do that.
Well, because when you spend time with people, and as a human, when you have to eat about 3 times a day, you end up entering a time period of needing to eat. So mm-hmm. It's just so easy to have to go to.
Yeah. So I think that's one. But also, I think certain relationships, I know for me, I'm going to talk about this later too, is I have a certain way of working out, and it's just not compatible, I guess, with how you work out. If that makes sense. Like, I like to work out in the gym specifically.
Right. And in the gym I realm. Do like to work out in the gym, but right now I'm specifically focused on running and getting my speed faster. So I'm not in the gym right now. So yeah,
because so of it's that. Really hard that like I'm only comfortable working out a certain way and you like it the other way, because then we can't really come up with exercise dates.
Right.
Either mean we have to kind of do it on our own, but because we spend so much time on with each other, we don't really make
time. The initial issue, yeah. Right? Because we're working on ways to improve that now, which we'll talk about a little later in the episode. But yeah, and I think for people, it's like, in the beginning, you're not afraid to sacrifice time. Like, if you normally go to a gym on a Wednesday, but your date's like, hey, do you want to go to, like, the Rose Garden Wednesday? Like, you choose to be like, yeah, of course, I don't got to go to the gym today. Like, let's go, you know?
And that, you start shifting things over.
It's you're all like, about priorities.
I'd be like, you know what? I want to spend time with Tommy. I'll go to the gym tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then the next day comes, I'm like, Tommy, let's hang out again. You know what, next week. Right. And that next week becomes 3 months and you're fucking 30 pounds heavier. And like, it really does. But you don't notice it.
But the reason why it's called happy weight is because it's almost like you wouldn't trade it for anything else. Because in the way that the gym will make you feel great, in that time that you spent with that person, it's just so great that that's why you choose that person all the time.
Yeah.
But in the end, hopefully you don't resent yourself too much. And I think for some of us, we have to put our health first as well. So
yeah, I think I'm coming to that point, y'all, where I'm like, I love Tommy and I'm so like thankful for him. But I really need to get this body in check because it's not where it's supposed to be when it was where it was. Yeah. I looked at pictures from a year ago, exactly right before I met you. I was at my lightest. And it's never.
And it's, isn't it funny how, like, you can be so thankful for someone coming into your life, but, like...
Also so kind of, like, mad.
Not mad, but just, like, people create change.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now we have to spark positive change in each other's life before my cholesterol goes too high.
But I think going back to it, it's just, it's really good that we both have backgrounds of, like, going to the gym, being very sport and health-focused and running and stuff. So I think... Once again, we'll talk about it a little later in the episode. We have that background that we can fall back on and now find what is our healthy, like, rhythm that we're trying to find now in having everything, you know?
My tip for people who are dating or, you know, currently getting into a relationship and you want to avoid this happy weight gain, don't be afraid to say no to a date and really stick to your schedule and, like, you know? Because if you're, like... If you and a person like each other enough and you know this isn't the end of it, like, one day of me going back to the gym isn't going to hurt our relationship.
Oh, yeah, one day.
You know what I mean?
But I definitely
feel like... That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, for me, I felt like we said yes to each other so much that we neglected saying no.
I wouldn't use the word neglect. I would say we prioritized having each other. But No, because I want to say that, like, it also, the time we put into each other benefited to how close we came so fast, and I do think we benefited from that. But yes, I believe a day or two, like you said, could have been spared.
What I'm saying is, the first 2 months is cool to, like, you know, sacrifice those days, but I mean, after month 3, 4, 8, 9, I felt like there was time for me to, like, reprioritize.
Right.
Which we didn't.
We are working on it. And we'll talk about that in the later part of the episode. But we're working on it. But I definitely feel like I think everyone should have happy weight. I think everyone should gain happy weight per se.
Yeah.
Unless you both, like, really have compatible exercise schedules, which is even better.
Yeah.
But I think that we wouldn't be where we are today if we didn't choose to make all the choices we made and just have, like, a beautiful, like, euphoric, like, 3 months in the beginning. Yes. I mean, it's still euphoric to me, but, like, we made... It's also because you live so close and then you moved away from me, so...
For better job opportunities.
Yes. I'm really happy about it. But can I tell you a fun fact real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's kind of weird, but, like, I love you. I love your body. I tell you all the time, right? And I encourage you to, you know, work out because it's something that you want. Like, you were like, oh, I want to go to the gym this morning. So I was, like, waking you up. Like, wake up, pit-pat, wake up, right? Whatever makes you happy. But for myself, I would break up with someone if they were not overweight. Because, you know, weight does not contribute to health. But I would break up with someone if they weren't healthy. And what I mean by that is some people think I'm fucked up for that. But I would break up with someone if you can't run around with the kids. If you're going to die early because of, like, a heart problem or, like, cholesterol. And then the kids are young. Like, things like that. I think that... A partner that's very compatible with me has to go the distance and remember that health is important because we want to live long to experience things together, yeah. go on cruises together, like retire together, you know?
So. Yeah, I think there's definitely a difference between not dating someone because of size and exactly. not dating someone because of health
that's yeah
habits.
That's my thing. So that's yeah. why I feel like I'm always going to be an encourager for that, for the people in my life, my partner, my friends and whatever, because I want us all to live long, you know. But oftentimes I tell people that and they take it the wrong way, but that's what I mean. Yeah. Like I just want everyone in my life to live long because I want to live long with them, you know.
Yeah.
So but speaking of things that aren't gonna have us live long, it's nice to indulge once in a while. So let's talk about like our favorite indulgences, our favorite foods, like, so just people can get to know us more and ooh, relate okay. on that.
So my favorite things to eat is burgers.
That's I damn
love,
right.
I it love is. It. Some people are like very like, I love pizza. I'm like, no, I love burgers because burgers are like stacked, they're handheld, they're compact. You have different types of meats, cheeses and everything. There's just different, you can add avocados on it. Pizza, the reason why I don't like pizza is because it's triangle and it's like...
Because it's triangle.
But also because like a lot of the times the cheese always falls off.
Then you're eating some not great pizza.
Probably. But yeah. you know, still nonetheless, I prefer a burger.
What about it? Like what about it when you eat a burger and bite into it that you love?
I think I like the juices.
Yeah.
And like the crispiness of like... like the lettuce and uh-huh. like the sweetness of the tomato and like the sauces that go into it versus like pizza, it's kind of like standard pizza is very like just a lot of melted cheese and pepperoni. Yeah. And the thing is, I don't really like pepperoni.
Yeah.
I like other pizzas. Like I like regular cheese pizza. I like Italian sausage. I like all these other pizzas, but I think pepperoni is just overrated. And that's the reason I don't like pizza is because most people just get pepperoni.
So for you, a burger is like the perfect combination of everything you mm-hmm. want in one like bite.
Yeah. And then another thing I do like is tacos.
Like what kind of tacos? Soft or hard?
Soft.
Like authentic Mexican tacos?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, with a lot of like parsley, onions, verde sauce. Like I love
it's
that
cilantro, not parsley.
Oh, whatever. I've been getting that okay guys, I've been getting that mixed up these past few days. It's me okay. and my housemate were like, that's oh, is that parsley? I was like, oh no, that's basil. And then he goes, guys, that's cilantro.
I just want you to know that I need to get your back. Because as someone from Hawaii going to the Bay Area, and a lot of us growing up with Mexican food, I need you to have it right. So I got you.
Yeah, like, parsley who? Cilantro who? Like, we have that, but we don't really
parsley is honestly a white person herb, to be honest.
It's so weird. Cilantro. It's really hard for me to tell the difference. It's okay. I think I have to just look at the leaves better.
You're but learning. I'm teaching you.
I'm learning, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, another thing I like on the sweeter side is like banana flavored anything.
Yeah.
Like banana milk, chocolate dipped bananas. I love chocolate dipped bananas. Strawberry anything. Strawberry shortcake, strawberry ice cream, strawberry chocolate chip. Wait, what? Strawberry dip.
Chocolate chip.
Yeah, chocolate. Wait, strawberry. Wait,
I don't know what strawberry chocolate chip is, but I want to try it.
Strawberry. Chocolate strawberries.
Chocolate covered strawberries. Whoa, bitch, that took a second.
That took a really long second. Banana splits. Strawberry banana smoothies. I love. Those are like probably my two favorite fruits. Mm-hmm. And then anything fried.
Anything fried.
So like chicken katsu, fried chicken, Korean fried chicken.
Tempura.
What else is croquettes?
Gyoza,
fried gyoza. Yes, anything fried, I enjoy it.
That means we got to go to the fair for you, like the county fair or something. Yeah, give you some of that.
Just make sure we bring extra water, no soda. If I go to a fried festival, I can't have soda because I would literally like probably pass out.
Right just lay down the floor and never get up again.
Yeah. So for sure, like I do like fried food, but the thing is, like, I don't like having too much of the fried food in one sitting because I do feel nasty. So if I do eat fried food, I like to really offset it with something that's not so, like heavy.
Yeah.
What are your, like, your guilty pleasures in terms of, like, your favorite things to, like, indulge in?
Yeah, guys, I'm very simple and complex at the same time. Once again, I love anything new and limited. So any new cuisine I haven't had, I love the term fusion. I know that's so like a lot now at this point, like everyone uses
millennial.
It, but I love people creating new things, new cuisines. I love, once again, ice cream and milkshakes. I can have any time. So those are my, literally, I know ice cream isn't really a food, but those are my favorite foods. So And yeah, we'd love to know your guys' too, guys. So please DM us, or if you see them as person. It's always interesting to see how different people are. So let us know what your favorite foods are. Speaking of, do you want to do like a little like flash round of like our favorite specific things, like foods and stuff like that?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do fast food. Yours?
Okay, favorite fast food would probably be McDonald's.
Okay, if we're in that realm, mine is Wendy's.
Yeah.
Specifically the 4x4 junior bacon cheeseburger with spicy chicken nuggets and a Frosty on the side.
Mine is Filet-O-Fish.
I don't understand you for that.
I don't know. I think it's because it's tied to really good memories with my mom. Because
church.
Because my mom loves Filet-O-Fish. You know, like, she's such an old lady. And so, like, when I was younger and my dad then would be like, oh, let's go to, like, McDonald's, my mom would order Filet-O-Fish and I would always get a bite from her. And it just has nice emotional
attachments. I'm never going to understand that. I honestly think, like, hashtag worst thing on the menu. Next, favorite dessert.
Don't yuck my yum.
You can have it. I'll have
don't you can't yuck my yum, though.
I'll have a bite. Favorite dessert.
Strawberry shortcake.
Oh, I love strawberry shortcake. We'll talk about that more in another episode.
Yeah.
But my favorite, once again, ice cream. Favorite vegetable.
Favorite vegetable. What's yours?
Potato. I love the potato.
Potatoes are so versatile.
Potato and anything. I love versatile things.
Favorite vegetable would be bok choy.
Oh, wow. She's cultured.
I really, like, y'all, I can literally eat boiled bok choy without even any seasoning. I just eat it as it is. But if, you know, I like to be a little fancy, a little garlic salt.
Maybe a little sesame oil on top.
A little sesame. Mm. Yes, bok choy.
Favorite fruit or fruits?
Mine would be, like I said, strawberry, banana, and mango.
Mine are strawberries and mangoes. Like, just strawberries and mangoes. Love it. If you guys have ever had or need to try strawberry and mango ice cream together, is the weirdest, best combination ever. Try it.
I can see that working.
Tell me. It's so amazing. It's like, just, I can't describe it. It's just creamy from the strawberry and like bright and creamy from the mango. And fun fact, I once dated someone that was allergic to strawberry and mango. Those were the worst years of my life.
Damn.
Because I chose not to have it so I wouldn't hurt them.
Yeah.
But like, worst years of my life. Favorite.
Now you're living your best life.
What is, speaking of, I know, yeah, it's so good. We have strawberry all the time and mangoes because you're Filipino. What is the, speaking of fast food and stuff, what is the best French fry out there? Oh.
McDonald's.
Yeah. You can't go wrong.
I don't think you can. Especially when you get it freshly, like, out of the like fryer. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, you kind of, it's like hot, like, kind of soggy but not soggy. Mm-hmm. Like, and you have those, I don't like it when they over fry it.
Yeah
because I'm just like, I'm eating chips.
Did you hear they say as a hack, if you want it fresh, you order it without salt and then just add your own salt?
Oh my god,
because then they have to do it fresh every time.
Yeah.
I would agree. My favorite like convenient french fry is McDonald's, but to top that a little bit, I love, guys, boiling crab Cajun fries.
String fries?
I feel like they... string fries or kicking crab. The boiling crab ones, they are the same exact thickness as a McDonald's french fry. So for me...
You know, McDonald's french fries are actually considered shoestring french fries?
Yeah, they're just a little thicker than a normal one, which I think makes it a perfect thickness in general. Yeah. Because they're fluffy on the inside and crisp. Oh my god, everyone's gonna get french fries after this. But yeah, I feel like boiling crab Cajun fries just tastes like McDonald's fries with Cajun seasoning, so it makes it perfect. I actually like
steak cut fries. Because depending on how it's made, because if it's thick
like
enough,
Red Robin,
yes, because it's kind of like the same texture as like McDonald's,
except but
it's
thicker. Big enough,
except thicker.
I agree.
And you can get so much sauce in one little.
They do dip. It well. It's like a thick whatever, but you can't go wrong with McDonald's or like I said, boiling crab. Do you like boiling crab fries?
I do like boiling crab.
Crab fries.
I was hoping you wouldn't call me on it, boiling crab fries.
Speaking of, guys, if you haven't seen it, there's a gif of Oprah eating a french fry. Please.
Everyone uses that gif.
Oh, I love
it.
I love it. That's me. So I eat like that with my french fries sometimes. Favorite chips.
Favorite chips would be the Maui onion.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
That's my favorite non-spicy, but if we're talking spicy, I love a good hot Cheeto. Double X has to be the black bag because I like it spicy because my Vietnamese ass loves it spicy.
Also, the Hawaiian style one. That one's pretty good too because it's not like spicy.
Wait,
but it's
which
like,
one?
The orange bag. It's like, it's supposed to be like
spicy. Oh, the barbecue? Spicy barbecue?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, if you guys like spicy, try the pink Hawaiian bag. It's mango habanero. That shit is spicy.
Is it?
It's the spiciest chip I ever put in my mouth. Like,
that's really weird because for you usually have good tolerance.
My tolerance is crazy. I can eat it, but for normal people, you won't be able to eat it. It's so good. And also a good spicy chip is Tim's jalapeno chips.
I think, yeah, we've had
it that. Looks like your shirt right now. It looks like Where's Waldo. It's like a red and white stripe with green. It's really good. So, best chips. And also, speaking of GIFs, no, I'm sorry, GIFs. It was just confirmed by the person that made it.
I still think it's GIFs. But anyway,
it's GIFs.
They don't know what they're talking about.
If you're going to look at the Oprah GIF of her eating a french fry, if we're talking about chips, please look at the Janet Jackson GIF of her eating a chip. She's like in an interview, and then she's like doing the interview, and someone hands her a chip mid interview, and she's just eating it and like nodding her head. It's amazing.
Favorite burger place.
If we're on the East Coast, I love Shake Shack. It's fucking expensive.
Still haven't tried it.
It's expensive, and I would never buy it like on a daily basis. But expensive, it's so good. Potato bun and all, juicy, moist, so yum.
So, but since we're not on the East Coast,
then Wendy's when they make it right. When it sucks, it sucks. But when it's good, it's so fucking good.
Mine is between Super Duper.
Oh, I meant to say that. That one too.
No, you already said.
I love all burger. Yeah, I love that one too. That's my favorite, like, more fast casual burger.
Mine is between Super Duper and Red Robin's.
Red Robin's good.
Red Robin's, I think, again, it's because that's the first, like, burger joint that I've had when I moved to California.
Yeah.
And that's where we'd go, like, every Saturday, Sunday as, like, a family night with my older sisters, attached to really good memories.
But you also like In-N-Out, no? Is it because of the price?
It's funny. I didn't like In-N-Out when I first moved here. It wasn't until like two years in of living here that I actually started liking In-N-Out.
Okay.
I think it's started when I started drinking.
But the price is very convenient, and they
very
are open late.
Yeah.
But just to touch on it real quick, guys, it's important to stay in the news. Right now, they've announced a lot of places that support Trump for 2020.
And In-N-Out is one of those
In-N-Out
companies.
Take a look at the list and make sure you're making conscious choices of where your money's going, because it's like In-N-Out, Wendy's, McDonald's, Taco Bell. It's like a lot of plus. Equinox as a gym, like a
Soul Cycle. It doesn't matter.
Anyways, just letting people know, PSA. Your favorite water.
That's random. Favorite water.
It means a lot to me.
Well, we talked about this earlier. I said my favorite water would be like Dasani.
I'm not going to judge you on that. I think it's like a neutral water. I agree.
It's like a neutral, yeah.
It doesn't taste like anything. Like no minerals, no nothing, but yeah. It doesn't taste bad.
Yeah.
Which Dasani, if you guys know, is Coke brand. So you're very consistent as a person because you love Coke. My favorite water is Smart Water. I love Smart Water.
See, I don't have enough money for Smart Water.
Okay, well, once in a while when you can splurge.
You know what you should have? You should have the Minehune Man.
Well,
in Hawaii.
How do you pronounce that?
It's like, you know, like people do the refillable water.
Yeah.
So that's like the main brand that takes care of all like the like water.
Okay.
Water jugs in Hawaii. Fresh ass water.
I sound like such a nerd, but actually when we go to Hawaii, I'm actually very excited for that. So I hope you really
like
me.
You know, like people here, it's like, oh, don't order the tap water. It's like, it tastes like chlorine.
Yeah.
None of the water in Hawaii ever tastes like that.
I'm excited.
It's fresh. The ice cubes taste like water. Like, they don't taste like, you know, like some people at restaurants, their ice cube tastes like the freezer.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like that in Hawaii.
I'm excited. We'll put it on our list. But yeah, my favorite is Smart Water. I also love a good Voss Water.
I like Voss Water too.
Honestly, the more expensive the water, sometimes it's the better quality. You pay
anything,
for what you get.
Anything as long as it's not Arrowhead.
Fuck, I was just about to say that. I will drink any water. I refuse to drink Arrowhead.
Yeah.
That shit tastes like bad rocks. Like, not good rocks, but bad.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is our fire. That's our, what do you call it? Our quick fire bonus round.
Fire rapid, whatever.
Favorites.
So we talked a lot about how we went down a rabbit hole in weight gain. You know, we talked about how our culture affected us mentally, physically, and emotionally. But now we're going to shift into a more positive, forward thinking on how we are going to fix. Let's not say fix, because we're not broken.
Right.
Let's improve.
Finding our happy mediums of being in a relationship and focusing on, you know, celebrating and also living healthy lifestyles that we both really do enjoy, and scheduling that and figuring that out. So One thing that we're choosing to do is just also really taking back our time of just being okay with gymming on our own or working out on our own. Sometimes you might not want to do cardio with me, so then I'll go do cardio and you'll go to the gym, and that's completely fine. You don't have to be that couple at the gym all the time, like holding each other's towels and stuff. Like,
Yeah.
not necessary.
Plus, they take up too much space.
They do.
Another thing we could do is, so even though we gym on our own, we can still do couples workout or workout
Yeah.
that would be a happy medium between us
I
too.
love that you hate cardio, but you choose to take the time to really practice with me and like work on your running skills.
Y'all, I hate running because I talked about this before, bad ankles, bad
Yeah.
knees. I just really have really terrible flat feet, but I've been trying to do cardio
Yeah.
and build it up in the gym so that if he ever wants to run outside, I can last a little bit longer than I
Right.
normally would if I didn't.
And as someone as an avid runner, I just want to let everyone know that like a lot of times that running is a built trait, but once you're in it, it's like a fine-tuned car. Like you're gonna be fine, and you just gotta keep it up. But sometimes like bad ankles and things like that are attributed to weight gain and things like that. So once you like lose the weight or you get used to it, and your muscles are able to absorb shock better once you work on those muscles, all those things end up sometimes going away, and then it gets
Yeah.
better. So just don't give up. Just it takes some time, and then it gets really easy after that. So. But yeah, we're working out together. I love where that we're gonna integrate it. Soon I'll get a gym membership and then we can go to the gym together. Like that really excites me.
Yes, and I can teach you how to squat and lift. Because
Yes.
I like to lift like actual weights
As opposed
versus
to,
cardio.
no, I was gonna say, as opposed to,
Go ahead.
I was gonna make a joke. As opposed to like,
Moment passed.
no, hold on,
Come
I
on.
still want it to happen.
Okay.
As opposed to, what's it called when something's not real? Like fake,
Fake.
like imaginary, as opposed to imaginary weights. Sorry, the moment has passed.
Yes, that's fast. Ooh, hiking. We're
I
going out
love
more.
hiking.
That focuses on walking too. So I think soon we might do Mission Peak with one of his friends. So we might do that. I wish we had better water here in California. Because in Hawaii, it was easy to just like, let's go to the beach, and that really is the workout in itself. But here, it's like, it's what, 50 degrees in the water? No one wants to enjoy that, and the water's murky.
Yeah, unless you drive down to like Santa Cruz or
Or like a
something,
really
so
nice
it takes a
lake.
drive, yeah.
Ooh, besides the in the gym, we're like working out, we're also learning to cook healthier. And by learning, I meant Tommy's teaching me how to cook better recipes that doesn't require
Yeah.
much effort, but also are is like good for saving money
And
too.
also tastes good, because a lot of times people attribute to like healthy food as like non-tasty food, like bland food, and that
Yeah.
doesn't have to be the case. I always encourage people to start with your favorite things, so then you'll end with your favorite thing. So once if you start with your favorite vegetable, your favorite fruits, your favorite seasonings and stuff, you'll end up with the dish you'll like, you know? So you just gotta make sure, don't just be like, oh, I'm just gonna eat lettuce and then I'll be skinny. Then you're not gonna enjoy it if you don't like
Yeah.
lettuce, you know?
So make sure you find ways that's a medium between like what you really like to eat and turn it to gourmet, but it's still healthy and you save money.
Yeah, and to help with that, guys, I have this thing that if you guys ever need tips or help with this or want me to go shopping with you, and you Jericho and I can, you know, go with you and have, make that fun. But I have this little game that I play is always I can show you that like when you go to a restaurant, you might pay like, you know, $14 to $20 on a plate, but I can show you how to make that in like $3, $4, and how dramatically is like if you cook your own food and you do it right, you really do save
You
money.
do save money.
And it's learning how to buy things at like you buy certain fish at this grocery store, you buy produce at this grocery store, and things are variously cheaper if you just are willing to drive like half a mile. And it makes a world of difference. Just you can't be eating salmon every single day because obviously it's expensive, but you make smart choices, you can save so much money. Don't give up on cooking at home. Like, we can teach you how to do it right.
Also, y'all, if you don't know any recipes, fucking use your computer and use Google. Like, it's
Oh,
not. There's
please.
so many good recipes out there. I mean, also make sure the author is of a person of color so that it uses seasoning.
Seasoning or
I've seen some recipes that are kind of like interpretations of like original, like especially if you're looking for like a cultural dish. There's ways to like still have flavor while keeping it healthy and lighter, like what Tommy's mom does. Still cultural, still like the way it's supposed to be made, just healthier. There's way to modify it. You just kind of have to look at the recipes and see
yeah.
what you kind of can lessen or you don't
Yeah.
necessarily need in there.
There's a lot of ways to add flavor besides just unhealthy habits. So, and then with that being said, like let us know if you guys want us to go to the supermarket with you, go shopping with you. But I honestly love the supermarket. Little fun fact is my mom used to work for a commissary growing up. I don't know if I mentioned this, but so when she couldn't find a babysitter and she was like, you know, basically the bagging lady in a grocery store, she would bring me to work. I don't think she was supposed to do this, but she'd bring me to work. And then so I would just be running up and down the aisles like as a toddler while she was bagging groceries. That doesn't sound safe, but it was safe.
It does not sound safe at all.
So when I'm in, I think this is why I have a love for food and like, you know, buying things and stuff. But when I was young, I would like, instead of a library, I would sit my ass in the aisles and like read the backs of like products and like food products. And I still can, to this day, I'm not exaggerating. If I'm not with people, I can spend 1 to 3 hours in a grocery store just taking my time and sitting down. Jericho knows this. Even like
one time I sent him to go buy groceries for dinner. I was like, yeah, surprise me, like do whatever you want.
And then I generally just said, oh, so no rush. And he was like, just generally like, oh, yeah, no rush, right?
He was gone for 2 hours to the point where I was calling him to make sure that nothing happened, because I went to go run errands and I came back before him. And I was like, hey, is everything all right? Like, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm still in, like, I have, like, 2 more aisles to go through at, like, Safeway. And I was like, damn, he really takes his time in, like, looking through all the different products, compare and contrast, looking at the calories and seeing which one's really healthier per gram or whatever. Like, it's an obsession.
It's so fun. It's like you get to see what are the special sales that you have to, like, aren't on the coupons and stuff like that, and like what are the healthiest brands and how you can like save more, and like when they have new items, oh my god, the funnest thing, guys, is the chip aisle. When you go down the chip aisle and there's like the new chips, oh, I love it.
So be careful if you ever want to go out
Oreos, the new Oreos. Oh, they have Oreo flavors all the time.
A whole bunch of different shit.
I try one and I give them all away because I don't like eating that much, but yeah, I just gotta try it.
Well, before we close it out, let's summarize this, and what is your personal goals for yourself in terms of dealing with this extra happy weight?
I'm always very happy and confident in my body as long as I'm healthy. So yeah, I've definitely gained some weight, but my goal is to continue working on my speed. I want to get back to running like in a competitive way like I used to. I want you to join me. I want to run marathons, and I want to do triathlons, and I want to just run a lot. And then eventually after that, or in the midst of that, I'm going to get back to the gym and get back to my strength training that I used to do. But
yeah.
I also want to balance that out with, you know, eating out with you and having a good time. So we'll find the medium. But we're losing weight. We are losing weight.
We kind of, yeah. We go up and down.
And for you?
My personal goals is to drop at least 20 pounds.
Yeah.
I want to go back to my, at least closer to my original weight, y'all. So in this 1 year, I gained 30 pounds. I'm at my heaviest I've ever
happy
been.
Happy weight.
Happy weight is real. But I mean, I used to be upset about it and used to feel really defeated. But I think I'm coming to terms with that, like, my weight doesn't define how good I look. And so I just want to go to a healthier weight because I know I have a lot of excessive like fat and like unhealthy. It's like unhealthy because I can't run for as long and whatnot, so this is more so like so that running and working out is a little bit easier. And it's not that like I want to be skinny. I don't care about being skinny. It's more so I just want to be at a point where like I feel confident again and like and feel like it's not so heavy on my ankles.
Yeah,
bitch, because my ankles be like really sad right now. So there's that. Also, I just want to be able to like not have to buy new clothes.
Yeah,
that's my biggest worry, is that I'm going to get to a point where I have to like buy new clothes, and I'm really trying to avoid that. Yeah. So I just want to go a little bit more down, go back to where I originally was, and I'll be all chillin'.
Yeah,
that's my main one. I don't really care for abs or like being
ripped.
Like, I purely for the health aspect of losing weight. Yeah.
But you know what's really cool is you're someone that holds weight very good. Like, you look good no matter what. Like, you look like, it's like one of those things where like you said it yourself, like before I thought you looked good, and now you look like a different good. Like, it's a little bit more like manly, like, and
out.
Grown,
yeah,
like, and like broader out. Shoulders, like the weight distributes really nicely.
Thank you. That's like the only like I guess good thing about my weight gain is it's clear that I have gained weight, but it doesn't really, I guess you could say, shape my face in a different way.
Exactly.
Like, some people, it's like when they gain weight, 10-20 pounds, their face already like changes.
Yeah,
mine is evenly distributed so that like I'm proportionate. I just look like you zoomed in from the corner and just kind of dragged me all
yeah a little bit. That's me too. That's me, because for me, like, I'm lucky enough that I don't gain, like, my weight distributes really nicely. That mm-hmm. summer when I gained 30 pounds, it's kind of like I call it a teddy bear. My arms and biceps gets thicker, my legs get thicker, most of it goes to my ass, so it's very like everywhere but my stomach, so it feels very rounded.
Yeah,
but it does show on my face, so like soon I have to do some like some photo shoots, and it's one of those things where like the camera does add 10 pounds, especially to your face. Mm-hmm. So I have to drop like right now like 10 to 15 more pounds if I want to
do your photo shoot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird because I'm not like you. Oh, I hate you. Yeah, it goes to my face, and I was like, oh, sucks.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's because I genuinely already have naturally bigger cheeks and my dimples, so it kind of curves out my face a little bit more.
If anything, it makes your dimple even more pronounced,
and so it makes it even better to look at. Well, yeah, anyways, that is our topic about happy weight and whose fault is it. It is Tommy's fault.
It is your fault.
It is probably my fault. Yeah, that's the honest truth.
We both contribute.
Yes. So whether you are single, taken in a relationship, happy weight is real. It happens to a lot of us. There's ways to prevent it, but there's also ways to like reduce it, or ways to kind of get back to where you want to be. But just know that your health and your happiness is more important than how specifically you look at a certain weight or size.
The two H's, guys. Just remember, don't overthink it. Don't overstress it. Like, we'll go on a jog, we'll hike together as a community, as people. Let us know. But what's the most important is that you are just healthy, no matter what your body looks like, and you are happy. So don't stop being happy in the relationship. Continue to date, but just make sure to balance it out and try to make some good choices once in a while.
Yes. And don't forget to indulge.
Don't forget to indulge. Indulging is not bad.
But indulging means like once in a while, not
like moderation.
Yes. Indulging isn't like every fucking day, people. Like, don't do that, because that's what we did.
All right, guys. Well, we hoped you liked the episode. This was Happy Weight and Whose Fault It Is. Is it? It's definitely Jericho's.
So yeah,
let us know whose fault you think it is and how you guys relate to this. So DM us and stuff. So to go with our ending segments, guys, let's do everyone's favorite, the positive buddy, the chia buddy.
All right, Tommy, so what is your chia buddy for this week?
All right, y'all, this is not just this week, this is my life. One of my biggest favorite things when it comes to entertainers is entertainers that have the whole package. We're talking people that have the opportunity to be legends. We're talking about people that icons. Can do it all, icons, but living legends or non-living legends, like the big names, guys, like Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. Madonna, and then more modern, like Britney Spears, like Beyonce.
Yes, Beyonce.
Right, people that can do it all, and I mean, it's people that can sing, but people that can also dance, and people that can put on a show that's not just vocals, not just like lights and like production, have a presence to them that even if there's no music, they stand on a stage and you will scream because of who they are as a person. Total package. So that's people that I really love. I think that's necessary in an all-rounded entertainer. I love it. Stan. So something I want to bring in that happened like this past week is Normani from Fifth Harmony. I love Fifth Harmony and every girl from it. They have strengths to each of them. Fifth Harmony.
Yeah, they're not irrelevant.
No. Everyone knows.
I love it when you call me,
senior. Oh, Camila. Yes. I love that song with Shawn Mendes. But we're going to talk about Normani. She probably was like the weakest person in the... Like, everyone said she was the weakest person. She was just the dancer.
Yeah.
But given on her own... I mean, she's still not a great singer. But she's a great performer. And yeah, she has the essence of being a great performer. And maybe she can work on her voice. Maybe she can write find the right music. But I just want to give props to her music video, Motivation.
Yeah, that was a good music video. I really liked it.
Speaking of Britney Spears, Beyonce, a throwback to them. Like, she has presence and she can dance her ass off. She might become in the next Ciara or Tinashe and just be a dancer with, you know, subpar vocals. And that's fine with me. But I just love that she has presence you can't deny.
Yeah, true. I agree. Anything else about her?
Oh, I just hope she sings better. But yeah, I don't think the song is great, but I think the video is awesome, has a lot of replay value. I just want hope that she has a lot more content that is more vocally focused in a sense where it really caters to her voice in a, like, I think in an Aaliyah way. Aaliyah and early Janet would make a lot of sense. So
yeah,
that's my chia buddy. And yours?
My chia buddy is also about an entertainer, but not in music or dance. My chia buddy, my entertainer is comedian. I was gonna say Comic Sans. A comedian, and it is Tiffany Haddish. Oh,
another brown skinned girl. Our chill buddies are black women.
She currently has a Netflix special called They Ready, and it what I love about it is it features other female comedians that she supports and loves and has history with, and I just love that she's utilizing her platform and her voice to uplift those who she's met along the way and give them an opportunity and time on stage to be a headliner at a comedy show. And a lot of the themes in each of these women's like own like narrative is that for every 10-20 guy comedians, there's only one female that's performing throughout the whole month at whatever like show. And it shows that even comedians face inequality, and it's kind of unfair that, like, you know, these wonderful women have such great like content and stories to share, but like they don't have the opportunity as much as like guys. And I'm not gonna lie, I do tend to prefer female comedians just because I feel like their stories are much more like out there versus some guy comedians. It's really kind of like just very misogynistic and like it's just like okay.
Well, it goes a lot to say that with a lot of entertainment, women have to cross higher boundaries to get noticed.
Yeah,
but it just makes their content so much better.
Yeah,
where men can just get off with like just talking about whatever, and then they're so funny, you know.
So, but yeah, focus on the positive. I'm so happy for Tiffany Haddish, and I can't wait to see the rest of the series. I think I have like 2-3 more episodes before that little special is over with. But that is my chia buddy.
Watch it; it's great.
Yeah. And lastly, before we end this, is our daily flush. Yes. So, Tommy, what do you want to flush? What do you want to flush out for this week? Something that you don't like? Something? Anything that's bad that you feel like should be
out? All right. Well, I'm gonna flush out, and this is something that I think I've carried with myself with childhood and adulthood, and for the rest of my life. I think there's beauty in sophistication and being classy. We all love a ratchet moment, but let's not just be continuously ratchet people and learn how to carry yourself in a mature setting, you know. And what I want to flesh out is thirsty ass people. I just don't think it's cute. And this is my personal opinion. I'm just unbiased, but I think that when it comes to myself and when it comes to people I'm attracted to and other people, I think there's nothing sexier than keeping a little spice and secret and like sazon, like to yourself, like me getting to know about your freaky secrets and me getting to know that there's more to learn. I think that when you put it all out on the plate already, like, yes, I think it's good to be an open book, but when you give all your tricks away in like the first scene, if that makes sense, there's no more to explore about you. I think there's some things that are nice to save, you know, for the bedroom, for certain things that create mystery to people and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't think it's cute to be super thirsty, putting that all out like on social media, speaking about it all the time, and every time you speak, it's always about how you want dick, you want, you know, pussy, you want this and that. And it's like, then it leaves less room for you to talk about your interests, your hobbies, your intellect, your emotions, what's going on in your life, and like what we talk at the top of the podcast, like, how are you? If you're always just talking about how you're thirsty you are, I'm not going to get to know you for the more beautiful, the other aspects that are you, that are also beautiful, rather than just your thirst.
Definitely agree. Like, I hate when people like are like literally their feed is full of people just like, oh, you're beautiful, oh, I can't wait to be your boyfriend or your husband, like, if you're not married by 30, we should get married. Like, that's so fucking weird and random. Right. And, you know, unfortunately, I do have friends who are like that, and bless their souls, they'll figure it out.
Not to get it twisted, like, there's nothing wrong with admiring beauty and sexiness.
No, there's definitely a difference between being thirsty and literally like flirting with anything that reads, and like giving a genuine compliment, and like talking about, you know, the beauty in someone. There's a difference.
I think for me, I just want to speak to people's complexity as human beings. Like, it's, if you look at your feed or your like what you talk about on a daily basis, you know, there's so much to talk about when it's your hobbies, your career, your emotions, what you're going through, content, and sexy people. But if all you're talking about is just dick and sexy people and pussy, then it's like, you're too shallow for me. Like, I need more content than just that. So what I want to flush out is thirsty ass bitches. Let's flush them out now.
Okay. For me, what I want to flush out is, since this is very relevant, so for those who don't know, I had to color my hair back to black,
dum, dum, dum,
or dark brown, whatever you want to call it, because of the fact that I'm interviewing for more admin and, like, quote-unquote professional jobs, what I want to flesh out is the expectation of what a professional looks like these days. Like, I have tattoos, I have piercings, I have my hair colored, and I guess it comes with the territory of going to, like, an admin job or, like, tech industry. They're a little bit more, you know, cut and dry about how everything is. But I just hate that, like, we still judge people based on looks. And unfortunately, that's just how the world works, is through visual cues. But I just wish that there was more room to, like, not judge someone by their hair color and the fact that they have, like, a little bit of piercings. Like, my piercings aren't even that great, and they already commented, and, like, you're gonna get rid of that piercing, right? If you do interviews. I'm like, damn. And so when I had to go to the agency recently to talk about possible, like, job positions that they could connect me with, I colored my hair because they didn't like the fact that it was blue and stylish. They wanted it something more standard and whatnot. And I'm kind of, like, happy with going back to basics. But the thing is, I feel like I look like a 12-year-old again because my hair is, like, just plain. Like, I feel like I aged downwards. People say that I look normal, like how I used to look like when I first went to college. I think that's why people think I look younger, is because my hair was very, like, normal when I was a freshman. So people are like, you look like how you were back then.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's why I want to flush. It's not that big of a deal, but I just wish that we could go beyond looking at people so, like, socially, like, how they visually look like.
Yeah, just real quickly, like, I mean, it goes back to stereotypes. And it's so weird because we're doing a lot of interviewing with these jobs. You would think that with these interviewing, that would be enough to get some to know someone, that you wouldn't have to base it on these stereotypes. So, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. Anyways, let's flush that out right now. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in for this episode. This is episode 8. We are a few more episodes to our season finale.
Season finale, number 10. So, guys, that's going to be a fun one.
Yes. Stay tuned, please. I hope you all took something away from this topic. Like we said, be healthy and happy. Indulge a little bit. But also, you know, happy weight isn't bad. Happy weight is meant to be happy. Just don't go overboard like what I did.
Yeah.
And again, whose fault is it?
Yours.
Yeah, it's probably my fault.
Just kidding.
Probably. All right. Is there anything you want to add, Tommy, before we sign off?
No, just be happy, be healthy, eat lots of ice cream, and then work out a little bit. Also, look at the Janet Jackson and Oprah gifts, and that will make you laugh. DM us with anything that you thought about this episode, guys.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Love y'all.